Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayemi Meseches Nida Daf Dalet. We are holding on Dalet Amid Aleph around halfway down the Amid. Chizkiah Savar. So this relates to that interesting Machlekes. He had a container in which he had some bananas, which were tahar. So he had them in this corner of the room. He removed the bananas, not noticing any issues inside the container. There was no, as far as you can see, he didn't notice any sherets, any lizard, any tumor-generating enterprise, together with the bananas. Then he relocated that container over to a different corner. So now it's in a new location, and over there, comes back to the box a while, he sees a sheretz, he sees a lizard in there, dead lizard, which can generate tumor. The question is, shall we blame it on this location, or shall we attribute this issue to the former location as well, and assume it was there together with the bananas at the other location? So the question is, how much a role does location play in determining the presence of tumor? Chizkiah Savar, loy mechaskinan, tumah, we do not attribute the tumah from one location to the other. So location does play a role. Look, you discovered it here, let's assume that it was only here, it never was in the other place. Chizkiah Savar, loy mechaskinan tumah, mi makim, from this place, the makim to the other place. Rabbi Yechon Savar, mechaskinan, we can. You discovered it here, true, but we can assume that it was there at location A as well, together with the bananas, and attained to them. Says the Gemara, really? Is that so that we don't reckon with the location factor? Meaning that although it was found here, we can assume it was there as well. Fellow's walking along and he touched a person. It was pitch dark. He couldn't see, you know, the status of that person. Was he alive? In which case he doesn't give off tumma. Was he already dead? In which case he does give off tumma. He's not sure. It was dark. Naga b'echad b'leilah. Ve'ni yudei. He doesn't know imchai, whether alive, imes, or dead. Ulamachar, the next morning, hishkim umatzu imes. He gets up, it's light. He sees, unfortunately, the person had already passed away. So now, currently, for sure, he's mes. Question is, what about all the night? What was his situation then? Rabbi Meir retired. According to Rabbi Meir, the person who touched him is tahar, because just because he was mace now doesn't mean anything regarding all the night. And in fact, you had a chazaka, cheskas tahara, you were tahar until that point. Let's assume that condition maintained itself until proven otherwise. So you're tahar. V'chachamim mitamen. According to Chachamim, man is tamei. Why? Since the current condition is mace, we assume it was that way in the middle of the night as well. V'chachamim mitamen. Shekola tumeis. Because in all matters of tumah, kish as metziyasa. It's based on the condition as it was discovered. It was discovered mace, we assume it was mace as well earlier in the night. V'taniyelo. Now we have a brisa which explains, which adds to it. Not just based on current condition, also location. So it relates to this location. V'taniyelo. Kishas mitziyasin, as per the time, the moment of discovery. Uvemokai mitziyasin, and the location of discovery. Meaning, if he discovered this person mace at the same spot that he was throughout the night, we have to assume that night he was touching a mace as well. But suppose the person was he found him in a different location. There he was mace. We don't have to assume that he was mace in the earlier location, because location is a factor at play. That's a kasha on our discussion with the box of bananas. If the sheretz was discovered in the new location, who says it was there in the old location? Sakut Rabbi Yechanan attribute tumah to the earlier location as well. It was found here. Let's assume it arrived here, not there. Chitim, perhaps you can say, you can argue. There are different levels of concern. Hani made this right. True. We don't have a right to determine definitively that it was there, the other location, with respect to definite status of Tuma. For instance, if there was an issue of touching Truma, to go and burn it, no, you wouldn't say that. Aval litla is talina, but to do talia, pending, wimbo, yeah, that you would do. Meaning there is an element of uncertainty, there is an element of suffix. It suffices to trigger an uncertainty. We'll be telling it, really, is that true? Even that's going to be disproven from the next Mishnah. But now we have a Mishnah. Machat shenim tzis melei chaluda. So you have a needle, which you knew was tameh, and will be metameh, you know, food that it touches. And you found it on the food. But now it's full of rust, and that renders it unusable, in which case the tumah dissipates, or shvur or broken. So two examples of dysfunctional, deactivated, you know, needles, tahira. So that needle is considered tahir with respect to, you know, the ability to pass on tumah to taharis. So even though it's sitting on a loaf of bread, it's tahir. Why? Who says maybe it got rusty today, and it was here from yesterday? And it did generate tumata. Shekola tumah is kishas mitzvahs. In the matters of tumah, we determine based on the current moment. You found it dysfunctional. You found it deactivated. You assume it was that way when it landed on the loaf of bread as well. Vamai, why? At least a suffix you should have. Vamai lema, we should say haimi kar machat mal yasehi. Initially, when it came into contact with the loaf of bread, it was a fully functional needle. It conveyed tumah, and now it got rusty. Apparently, no. We look at the moment of discovery, and that is presumed to have been along without any suffix. Void. Now we have another mission on this track. Matzah, sheret, sorav, algari, asesim. So there's a dead lizard which generates tumah, but it's totally burnt up, in which case it loses its tumah. It's sitting on the olives. You're not sure whether it arrived whole or it arrived burnt. Another example is a piece of material that was tummy that is now, you know, totally worn out, sitting on the fruit. Tar, everything's okay. So the sheretz, the matlas, cannot be metame. It's tar for the same reason. Shakala tumais, because in all matters of tuma, it's based on its current situation. Kshas mitzias, and we assume, just as time plays such a definitive role in determining status, likewise location. V'chitema, perhaps you'll say, who says you can compare time and location? V'chitema k'shas m'tziyasam. Bein l'kula bein l'chumra, when it comes to the condition of discovery, so you base it on that condition, whether it's l'kula, whether it's l'chumra. L'kula would be the most recent cases of the food that is spirit tumma, because you assume this condition was there all along. Bein l'chumra, which is the case of the person that he touched, it was later discovered to be mace. So it's all based on current condition. But when it comes to location, maybe it's not as definitive. V'makim mitziyasam, in terms of the location of discovery. Yeah, so if it's in the same place, so it's based on current condition, whether it's the kula luchum, right? V'chitema k'shas mitziyasam ben kum luchum, uvimokim mitziyasam, provided it was in the same place. Ava shloi b'mokim mitziyasam, but let's say it changed locations, as per the earlier story with the banana box that had been relocated. In that case, who says location is such a strong factor at play? Yes, you can't automatically extend it to the other location, but maybe a suffix there is. Not as definitive as the other factor. Misrafli safinu, you can't burn based on. But mitla talina, we do have a talia, meaning there's a suffix. So although it was discovered here, perhaps he was already present in the other location. But that's not so about Tani of a Braisa. And even the location factor is absolute as well. About Tanya. Kikor al gabe hadaf, you have a loaf of bread, which is tahar, sitting on this ledge. Umadaf tami, there's a an article of clothing, which is tamei. It's called madaf. Rashi brings the whole explanation. It's a lighter tumah. In any case, something which is tamei, a level below that ledge, munach tachtav, avabi, and then he discovered the loaf of bread down on the floor. Presumably, it passed through. It came into contact, brushed along that article of clothing and made it tamei. Avabi shim nafla. Although the fact is, if he would trip and fall, the loaf, it's impossible to pass through the article of clothing without coming into contact with the Torah. The loaf of bread is okay. Why? Because I can speculate. Adam Tahir, Nichnas Hashem. Who says it tripped off the ledge? A person came in, a person who was Tahir, picked it off the ledge and put it on the ground. Nichnas Hashem ben Dala. So we assume that it's okay, unless he knows otherwise. Actually, unless he says, "Burily, I'm positive. Shalei nichnasat misham. Nobody walked in. He was locked." But Rabbi Elazar was explained. L'nitzrucha. This theory that the person came in is only needed el lemokim madrin. L'nitzrucha el lemokim madrin. That's only if there was a tilt. That the ledge basically would have tripped it onto the beged. So in order to counteract that possibility, we need the theory of the person entering and relocating it. But if it's just a straight ledge, which would not trip off the bread, so there's no reason to even discuss it. I mean, it's simple. It's pasha that it's tar. Look, you found it on the bottom. On the floor, you have no reason to believe that it touched the material. So therefore, sure, we assume that it made its way down by other means of transport. A person came in, etc. In any case, what do we see from here? Location does play a very definitive role in determining the status of this loaf of bread. You found it on the floor. You have no reason to believe that it touched the madaf. It wasn't found on the madaf, it was found on the floor. Safe territory. Says the Gemara, Hasam Katani Taima. Yeah, there. You have a very good reason to be matar the bread. Because we have that theory. Return time and base. Shani Yoim, Adam Tar, Nichnas Hashem and Natla. The theory is a person came in and relocated it. As opposed to the banana box. I mean, what are you going to say? There's no theory to justify spearing the bananas of the tumma. Look, the sheretz is here. Let's assume the sheretz was here all along. What do you mean? Says the Morachanam here too. Name we can say. You know how it got here? Oirev, a raven, a bird came along and dropped it in. Now, post bananas, after he took out the bananas, and in the new location, Oirev came along with Shadam through the. Says the Gemara. Big difference. When you involve a person in your equation, that makes more possible, it's more rational, it's more reasonable to assume that a person who has intent, who understands the situation, would have come in and speared the loaf of its tumah. He would have seen what's going on, assessed the situation, and relocated the loaf to keep it free from the tumah. Adam de Bekavana. Amrin, a person who does things with intent, is good reason to believe that he came in to save the day. But a bird, why would you say that he dropped the thing in, now after the bananas have been removed? Oirev doesn't do things with intent. Le Amrin, we have no reason to theorize that in fact it happened exactly now, in this new location. Says the Gemara, Michti. But now we have a question on this story with the ledge and the loaf of bread. Hi, Kikar. The story of the bread took place in a person's house, in a private area, in a private domain, in a Rishus HaYachad. Now we all know that when there is a Safek Tumah in a private area, we're compelled to apply Tumah to it. We learned that from the story of the Saita, where there is a Safek of impropriety. The halacha is, if it's an Rishus HaYachad, she's presumed to be Tamei until further verification. So how could we take the liberty of spearing the kikar, the loaf of tumah, when in fact it was an element of safek here, and it was in Rishus HaYochid, high kikar, safek tumah Rishus HaYochid, and that's a rule. V'chol any safek tumah in a Rishus HaYochid, sveika, the status is tummy. The answer is like this: true, granted, we should be learning from Saita, and we are. Let's go back and examine the case of the Saita. It's a person with das, with intellect, who could technically be interrogated and asked about the particulars of the circumstance. So that's the rule. Somebody that has das, somebody that has the intellectual capacity to be asked, to be approached, and asked to verify what happened. In that case, if there's a suffix involving that entity, that person, in Rosh HaYachar, it's tamay. But a cake or loaf of bread, which is intellect-free, doesn't have the ability to be asked. In that case, even though it was a suffix, in Rosh HaYachar, it's tar. And this is the Gemara Mishum, because the Havi Dover, because that loaf is a Dover, is an item, she'en boi das l'shoel, it doesn't have das to be asked. And therefore, b'chol Dover, she'en boi das l'shoel, irrespective of location, suffix is tar. Bain, whether it's Bishus Aram in a public area, Bain, whether it's Bishus Ayach in a private area, Sveikotar. We might say another way to explain why we're being lenient with this loaf of bread. We're speaking about a lighter tumah. A tumah which was introduced by the Rabbanon. Rashi refers to a Mishnah and Chagiga, Navchaf, all types of stringencies of tumah with the Rabbanon. And that's why when there is a Safek, even though it's in Rishus HaYochid, we're going to spirit of tumah. The economy, I'll even prove it to you from the wording, Tiktoni Madav. The Mishnah referred to that item of tumah as a Madav. Madav means something light, like a fluttering leaf. Tiktsiv, as the Pasuk speaks about Ole Nidav, a light, fluttering leaf. And it's referring to a tumah derabbanon. And therefore, we're going to consider a tar. Okay, some conclusion. Condition and location. Those are the two elements we discussed. So, in matters of tumah, we look at the current condition. We assume it was that way all along. Whether it's going to generate a kula, whether it's going to generate a chumra, it's an absolute factor to consider. Regarding makayim, how strong is location a factor? So, according to Chizkia, it's an absolute factor. So it's all determined by its current location. Whereas according to Rabbi Yochanan, it's not such a clear-cut factor. Although we did have a discussion about the kikar, where we find that location, in fact, is a strong factor at play. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, you can say, well, there is another element to consider, the person that may have come in here, etc. But in the case of the banana box, you don't have that factor, in which case you have to be concerned, even if there was a change of location. Continues the Gemara. So the Isha discovered some dam. How far back is she tummy? We have Shammai who says, nothing. It's just going forward. One reason was because she has a cheskas tahara until this moment. Let's assume she maintained that status of tahara. Hillel takes it to the other extreme. He says, what do you mean? The blood may have accumulated, been building up for a while, prior to leaving the person, prior to being noticed, in which case she's tummy going back all the way until her most recent examination. So even if it's a week ago. So she did a bedikah last Sunday, which determines that she was dam free, but now it's a week later, she discovers dam. This whole past week is presumed to be tummy. Misafik. And as we discussed, of course it's only matters of taharis, items that she had handled, items of truma, items of kachim. Chacham, however, take a middle road. We're not going to go like this shita or like that shita. We're going to take a compromise route. Turn around bottom. The Brisa explains their position. We're not going to adopt either approach. Not Shammai. He didn't create a boundary, a buffer zone. His position is very outright, very straightforward. Discover dam now. Forget the past. We're looking for Hillel, nor are we going to go with Hillel, who expanded that buffer zone to a great degree. Shehifriz. He expanded Al Midoisav on his measures, meaning he went all the way back to last week. That's a bit too far to assume that the blood was already there for that long and being held up by the body. That's a bit too far. Ella, rather, our approach is somewhere in the middle. 24 hours or last examination, whichever one is short. Ella Meisleis, the 24-hour period, Mima Etes will shrink, will minimize. Al Yad, the time frame of Mepkid Lepkid from examination to examination, which means to say, let's say, last examination was a week ago. She's only telling me going back 24 hours. So 24 hours overrides. It shortens that Pekid Lepkid time frame, and vice versa as well. There was a recent examination within the last 24 hours that will shrink the 24-hour period. So whichever, you know, window of time is shorter. Mepkid Lepkid from examination to examination, Mema'etes will shrink al yad, the time frame, the power, al yad means the power, meaning the time frame, the factor, the 24-hour factor, will minimize it, will shrink it, meis leis, and the Gemara plays it out. How do we have the meis leis, that the 24-hour factor is mema'etes, will shrink al yad from the mipkid lepkid? Okay, it's that, for example, bot ka'atzim becha b'shabes. She did an examination on Sunday, but Matzah Tahira discovered herself to be dam free. She went through Monday, Tuesday without a bedika. On Wednesday, batka. She did another bedika. Now she discovers dam. So if you look at the bedika to bedika time frame, it's 4 days ago. No, Me'is L'Eis shrinks it, shortens it, and the concern is only going to go back for 24 hours. We do not say, we tell me back till Sunday. To tell me mipkida from this examination, mipkida to the former examination. Ella, rather, it's limited to me'es leis. And vice versa as well. A recent examination will shorten the me'es leis time frame. Mipkida, mipkida, mima'etes al yad me'es leis. Case, for example, but got moshav rishon. She did a bedika first hour of the day, today. Umatzas tahira. And found it to be okay. She goes through the second and third hours. Without bedika, come the fourth hour, she does bedika. Matzah tumea. She discovers tuma. We don't say go back 24 hours. To tameis leis. Ella, rather, only going back to the previous bedika. So the Gemara, of course, in this case, it's obvious. Why would you? Examination is an absolute confirmation of status. How could you ignore it? And her going back, 24 hours. Pshita, of course, given the batka asma b'shav rishon and matzas tahira, she did an actual badika on the first hour and she was okay. Lometamim lomeis leis, you can't go back. Matamer past that point. So why even mention this? It's so clear and obvious. You're right. It's just sort of as a contrast to the first, as a matching, idea the tana meis leis on account of the first part of the equation where we said that meis leis is going to shrink mima'etes al yad ipkida lepkida. So although the previous examination took place a week ago or a couple of days ago, the concern is limited to 24 hours, which is a chiddush. So on account of that, it also paired it up with the other side of the equation, tananami. It also referred to the other side of the story, that ipkida lepkida is going to be mima'etes al yad meisleis, even though it's obvious even without mentioning. Amar Rabba. Here comes the why. So we have the what. Chacham hold, either last examination or going back 24 hours, whichever window of time is shorter. Now why? Based on what? What significance does Me'is Leis have as a factor, as a time factor in our story? Amar Rabba, my time, my Rabbanon. Why do they limit their concern to the most recent 24 hours? The answer is Isha Mageshes Ba'atzma, very similar to the Gemara back on the Kibbutz. A woman typically has a tingling feel. She has an indication in her guf that she's experiencing da. So the absence of that hargosha indicates the absence of da. No concern. Amali Abaye. As Abaye said, if that's the factor that's being considered here, so then why even go back 24 hours? She felt it now, so she's okay until now. If that's the case, just go with Daya Shahato. You're right, for Rabba, the reason why Rabba even presented this factor, even though that's not really the basis for their position. Rabbi was Abaye's Rebbe. He wanted to trigger him, his response, trigger his thought process to sharpen him. But really, Ella Maitamai Rabbana. What is the reason for the Rabbana limiting their concern to 24 hours? As per the following statement, Chachamim tikkun lam reish Yisrael. Chachamim established a practice for Jewish women. She boitkois atzmon shachas varvis. It's actually a Mishnah later, as she says in Afir Alav, the Mishnah, which says, Pamayim, Tzrichalis Vedekas, a woman has to check herself twice a day. One come morning, and one come evening. Shachas Varvis. What's the purpose of these respective procedures? The reason for the morning one, Shachas, is Lahachshir Tarush HaLaylo. To certify all those materials that she may have touched throughout the night. So basically, in the morning she does a Bedika, she's okay. Okay, so that confirms everything throughout the night was okay. And likewise, again, va'arvis, come evening, and that's to determine the status of whatever she dealt with during the day. L'hachshir ta'arish aliyah. So this twice daily examination was a requirement established for all B'nai Yisro. Now, evidently, this woman that we're talking about here did not. She neglected to perform some sort of examination because it's already 24 hours since her last. This woman, this Isha, since she was derelict in her duties, she did not do a proper examination as required by the Chachamim, we penalize her. She loses an Oina. Oina is a time period, meaning day is called an Oina, night is called an Oina. So she loses that. Says the woman, my Oina, what do you mean she loses an Oina? You say she loses 24 hours. Oina is Seir, I mean an additional Oina. To the standard, meaning if she would have followed standard procedure and done the bedika, let's say, you know, this morning, so that would have taken care of the previous night's activities, and then she follows with another bedika tonight at evening, so that would have determined the status of her activity today. Now suppose she finds herself to be tummy come evening, so whatever happened throughout the day is presumed to be tummy. She evidently skipped an examination. She didn't do one this morning. So what happens? We penalize her for that. We say, look, we have to assume, had you have done one this morning, it would have been Tamei. So we take that approach and we say, look, you didn't do Bedika, too bad on you. We assume it was Tamei, and anything throughout the night is Tamei as well. So now, she's Tamei going back 24 hours. So that's the reason for the Me'ez La'ez time frame. She's supposed to make a Bedika twice a day. One in the morning, one at night. She skipped the bedika this morning, and now, towards the evening, she did a bedika, and she was tummy. So this bedika's arvis, beginning of nightfall, determines everything throughout the day, the past day, was tummy. But we go back another oina, as though this was discovered this morning, and it's mitame anything throughout the previous night as well, so it's a total of 24 hours. That's only if, you know, it's coming out so neatly. She skipped this morning and she did this evening, right? So the penalization, considering as though this discovery happened in the previous examination, which in turn affects the previous Aina, that's true when it happened exactly this way. But let's say, she waited another half a day. Amal Papa the Rabbah. Vazim and Mishkachasla, there could be a situation where the Me'ez La'ez really goes back two additional time frames. Gimel Aynes. How is that? So Rashi says like this. Let's go to Rashi on the first wide line. Gimeloines. Kigoin, for instance. Im lebotko yamim rabim. You see, in our case, she just skipped one. So it works out perfectly. But let's say she skipped many. Ubotko batzarayim. So she didn't do examinations for days. And then suddenly, Tuesday, midday, she does a bedika. How far back is she telling me? Just 24 hours, right? Until Monday midday. Which is today's Aina, last night's Aina, and Monday's Aina. The Mitamin Law, Meisleis, Davalu, Gimel Ainais. You're really affecting three separate time zones. Hayoim today, Emesh, last night, Ve'esmol, and yesterday, Monday. I'm afraid it's around until, you know, yesterday lunchtime. Vahashta Kansin Lashde Ainais. So, in effect, you're penalizing her two extra time frames. The current one plus the two previous time zones. Rabban Chado, the concept was loy, but according to what we're saying, Chacham only penalized her on one time zone, one additional time zone, and you're applying it to two additional time zones. Says the Gemara, you know what? Technically, you're right, but Chachamim established a set, determined, absolute system that has 24 hours to avoid, you know, confusions and all kinds of mix-ups. Said the Gemara, Vizim Mishkachas L'Gimel Ois Meis Leis. Within the Meis Leis, you have three time zones that you're going through. The answer is Hishvu Chacham. They say Chacham evened out. It's simplified. Their system, they made it consistent. Shloi Tachlok Meis Leis. Not to differentiate between this version of Meis Leis and the other version. However, wherever it falls, it's going to be 24 hours. People, you say another way to answer your question is, true, technically, we shouldn't be going back that far because, as we said, Chacham only added, you know, just one additional time zone. The reason why we go back two, Shelo Yechoy Tenisko, because in this case, it'll turn out that a sinner is benefiting from their procrastination. It's an expression found throughout Shas. A sinner can't benefit. Meaning, suppose she'd have done her bedika right beginning of this morning, then it would make perfect sense. She found them. Okay, the previous night is Tamei, and we add another time zone the previous day. So it's 24 hours, you know, exact, right? But she waited a bit longer. She tarried a bit more until today, midday. It's inconceivable. Because of that extra delay, she'll gain. And now she'll only be Tamei, you know, today, until midday, and the previous night. Don't go back past, no. No. You can't gain by delaying. That's why we apply the standard, 24-hour go back, and, might be nayu. So we gave two reasons. Why even, in the case of a midday discovery, the standard meis-leis time frame will apply. One was, keep it standard, keep it consistent. Second one was, delay can't gain you. Might be not. Any difference between the two reasons? It could be not. Difference will be, the sneez of Lebotl. Let's say she delayed to midday because of an onus. Was that out of her control? That's not really a chayte. The second reason would not apply. So now, she would only be tummy from this morning till lunchtime, and the previous night, which is, 18 hours instead of 24. But according to the first approach, we would still apply a standard meis leis time frame even to her. Okay, so conclusion, Isha discovers Dam today, Shammai says, Tumah is strictly going forward, Hill says, way back to the past Bedik, Chacham say, 24 hours. And the reason is because, typically an Isha is Boidik, so she would discover Dam this morning, automatically the previous night would be Tami, going back until the previous Bedika, because she failed to make a Bedika. We add another Aina to her Tumah. Right, she failed to make a Bedika last evening, so we add another Aina, and we add the previous day as well, so 24 hours in total. Kolisha Yishesh Lavest, however, Phoenicia has a set, time period where she has her dam. Mishnah says, in this case, you can be sure that the dam only arrived when it was discovered. It wasn't here previously. Lema masnisen, shall we say that our Mishnah is Rabbi Doisi. It's going according to Rashid's Rabbi Doisi. He below Rabbanon, not like the Rabbanon. As follows. This nam, the Sanya, by the Raisa, Rabbi Lezo Eimer. Rabbi Lezo Eimer, Armar Noshem Dayan Shatan. In four cases, dam that was discovered now is presumed to have arrived now. Sulu Muberes Meniko Zakena. So the Sula refers to a woman who never had dam yet. First time, we assume, okay, it's here now, it's fine, but it wasn't here previously. Muberes, expectant woman who is presumed to be free of dam, Meniko, nursing woman, Zakena, an older woman. Rabbi Dessi, I'm not calling you Shish Leves Dayashata. Not only in these specific cases, every woman has an established pattern for seeing dam. As soon as she discovers the dam, she's tummy, but not going back in time. The Rabbanan disagree, apparently. So our Mishnah, which says that vest equals dayashata, is the Rabbi, is Rabbi Dayas not a chacham? No, I feel with him, Rabbanan, our Mishnah. We go even with a chacham. Ad kan le plig Rabban le drab deis. Rabban only disagree with him. Elosh le b'shas vesta. Alo b'shas vesta moidu le. Mastizim b'shas vesta v'divri ha-koil. Meaning like this. There are two factors to consider. What's this woman's practice? She's a ishi sheyesh la vest. She has an established track record. She has a schedule when she has her period. That's the first point. Next question is, what exactly happened in this case? She noticed her dam. Was it on that anticipated date? Was it Bishas Vesta? In that case, even Rabban didn't agree. We assume it's a new arrival. It wasn't here before. It makes sense. It was meant to come today, it came today. Rabbi Deisa stretches it even further. He says, even if it's out of the Shas Vesta, even if it's an unanticipated arrival, Dayashata. The tomb is only going forward. Why? Because this Isha is meant to have a set time for seeing them. So the fact that it arrived out of character is sort of a fluke, sort of some other factor pushing it, making it happen. It's not a natural phenomenon. Therefore, we say, look, it happened when it happened. We don't have to assume it happened earlier. To which the Chachamim take issue. If it happened just randomly, you know, you never know when it happened. Maybe it arrived earlier, you just noticed it now. So according to this approach, Nishi Yeshesh Lavest, depends. If she saw it B'Shas Vesta, all agree. It's only from this moment going forward, Dai Shata. Shle B'Shas Vesta. Chacham say, Meis Leis. Rabbi Deisa says, Dai Shata. Mechlad Rabbi Deisa. So apparently Rabbi Deisa's position is, I feel even if the Dam was noticed out of character, I feel Shle B'Shas Vesta, Omar, he still would say, Dai Shata. It's a fact, statement of fact. Fine. It says, now who's the author of the next price? Isha Sheish Lavest, Isha that has a track record, she has a scheduled, you know, period. Kisma Tamil Mafrey. Now let's switch to something called Kesem. She discovers a stain on the baguette. When did it arrive? We don't know. So we were Mitamil Mafrey. Go back, you know, 24 hours, and we assume it was there for a while. Why? Shem Tirish Lebishas Vesta Mitamis Leis. Because we find correspondingly, if she would have actually noticed dam on herself, out of the schedule, Shlebishas Vesta, we would also apply 24 hour going back in time to Tumah. So we have a formula of Meis Leis by the, even by Ishish Yesh Levest. And likewise, we apply to a kesem since we don't know when it arrived. Name Rabbanon Hivalei Rabbi Doisa. Shall we say that the Rabbanon are the authors of this price? Not Rabbi Doisa, because according to him, once she's a type of Isha that has a set schedule, we would never apply Meis Leis. We would never go back in time at all. Well, says the Gemara, now we're going to sort of shift. You know what? That was a bit of a stretch. I feel it, Rabbi Deisa. this brayso can go even like Rabbi Dosa. He never meant to say it that far. She notices randomly, we're not going to be Tameis Leis. We will, of course. At kan lei palig Rabbi Dosa leid Rabbon el b'shas fest. Even Rabbi Dosa, who limits it to daya sha'ata. Because she's an isha sheish lavest, that's only if she saw it b'shas fest, when it was expected to come. So you assume it's here now, but it wasn't here before. Avash lo b'shas fest, but if it's out of schedule, moidi lu, even the Rabbi Dosa would agree to Rabbonim. Once it's off track, you don't know. So you're compelled to apply tuma retroactively as well. Umasisim b'shas fest, Rabbi Dosa, so that was sort of switching the equation. Isha sheish lavest, what's her status? She notices dam. Is it daya sha'ata? According to Rabbi Dosa, yes, provided it was b'shas fest. Ubraisa de v'rakoil. Whereas the Braisa, we just quoted, who says that we do apply me'es la'ez even to isha sheish lavest, it's going according to all shittas. You know why? Because that was speaking that was shalei b'shas fest. That was a random discovery. In which case, all agree. You can attribute it to her set schedule. She never know. So it's a standard case of Meis Leis. So basically we're shifting gears. Initially we went to the Kula, we said, Ishish Lavest, all agree. Let's limit the Tumah to that moment of discovery if it was found on the anticipated date. If it was found randomly, Rabbanu would disagree. Rabbanu would still hold on to that. Now we're switching. Rabbanu never applied the concept of Daya Shat even to Ishish Lavest. It's only Rabbi Dosa, provided it was at the scheduled arrival. Look, Meifcha, why don't we switch it around like we did initially? And say that, you know, Rabbi Dosa stretches it and Rabban even agree if it was. Look, we have two options. We can go two tracks. Lenient tract and a strict tract. So we're compelled to go Luchumra. We have no right to be lenient, in which case we have to go with this new approach that even by Isha Sheish Lavest, Rabbanan say Meis Leis is still a factor. So even though it's likely that it just came now, but you never know, so you have to be Machmer, Yisafik, and Rabbi Dosa says no, Daya Sha'ata, but that's only when in fact it was discovered on the Shas Fest. But otherwise, just a random discovery, even he would agree. There is certainly a concern of Meis Leis. Okay, continuing from tomorrow. So we discussed Metzias Tumah, Mimakim Lo Mokim, Shas Metziasan, discovered the reason for the Chachamim's Meis Leis, and exactly how it manifests itself, and we discussed interesting discussion regarding Isha Ishla, Sheish Lavest. All the best to you and Atzlacha Rav.